Hello.
Hey.
Hi, Taylor.
Hi, Josiah.
This is...
Popping the Questions.
A podcast.
A podcast.
It's about questions and not about getting engaged.
It's not about getting engaged unless...
Yeah, unless you fall in love.
With me.
Or with me, dear listener. Or, you know, Taylor across me. So, a quick rundown. This is Popping the Questions. It's a podcast about love and intimacy, but also about kind of a songwriting challenge, as it were.
Yeah, so the idea is we take these 36 questions.
And Taylor, can you explain the 36 questions to
yes,
me real quick?
Yes, these 36 questions.
Well, don't sound so mad about it.
These 36 questions were designed by scientists.
Psychologists.
Psychologists who are sometimes known as scientists
in
their field. They designed them in three sets.
Of 12 each.
Of 12. Good math there.
Yeah, I went to school.
And basically each question is designed to increase intimacy with your partner.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess like the original idea is that even if it was a stranger that you were asking these questions to, assuming that you were attracted to them and available, then you would fall in love with each other.
Right. And we've never met, correct? Me and you?
That's not correct.
We are two strangers. We are going to test it out. No. And so Taylor came to me and was like, hey, there's this other podcast, which, you know, we're going to plug real quick, even though we're not going to actually plug it. But it's Jonathan Groff. He didn't write it, but he was in it, the 36 Questions, the musical podcast, which is in three acts. Very good music, beautiful story. And that's what inspired Taylor to get to sort of research this. So what we're going to do on this podcast is each of us are going to take a question each week out of these 36 questions. We're going to go in order and we will have this ask this question, have a conversation with someone who's in our lives, someone we're close to. And we use that conversation to inspire a song.
Yeah. Or someone we're not close to.
Right. Someone we might not know as well.
And it can be their response that can inspire the song or our response, but we are going to share our responses on the show.
Yes.
So you will get all the dirty details right here.
And you'll also get to hear a little bit about our songwriting process.
Yeah.
Which is going to be fun. So Taylor and I are both musicians.
Yes.
Songwriters, as it were.
Troubadours.
Troubadours. Professional musicians. Dare I say it? We've been known to get paid money to do songs.
That's true.
Music. I know. It's true. But so yeah, you'll get to hear sort of our process. And I think along the way, it'll be very interesting to hear how these questions foster intimacy and just good conversations with the people we speak with. And you know, what if we fall in love?
What
Taylor?
If we fall in love?
Oh, God, I'm so nervous.
The stakes are so high.
They're really high. They've never been higher. All right. Well, hey, let's get started.
What
do you think?
Let's do it. So this week I took the first question because I wanted to get it rolling.
Yeah.
So the first question is, given the choice of anyone in the world, whom would you want as a dinner guest?
Yes.
And I put the parameters on this question as being the person has to be alive.
Okay.
And at the age they are right now.
Oh, okay. So you're kind of taking your little spin on it.
Yeah. So like Napoleon, you couldn't invite.
Would you want to?
Well, hey, don't, you know.
All right, I'm sorry, Napoleon lovers out there.
I'm just saying we don't want to isolate anybody out there.
That's true.
So
you could like talk to Jesus.
Yeah. So should I say who I asked first?
Yeah, I think say who you asked and then maybe just a snippet of their response and let's go into the song.
Yes. Okay. So for our first question, even though this these questions are designed for strangers, I decided to ask ceremonially, you might say, my best friend of 19 years.
Okay.
Her name is Kara. And
shout out to Kara.
Yeah, shout out to Kara. And so I asked her this question, and we actually had the same response.
No.
Yes, we did.
You have known each other for 19 years.
Yeah. So our response was J.K. Rowling, because don't you laugh at me. This is not encouraging me to share, okay?
No, that's good. That's actually a good answer.
No, and not because, like, there's anything that she could tell us about, like, the world of Harry Potter anymore. Like, I feel like...
She's already got... That's
we
all, that
we
well
have
dry.
More than enough information, but it's sort of that...
And you probably know more than she does at this point.
I genuinely feel that way.
Oh, wow. Thanks for turning off your notifications.
I did turn it off. All right.
Whatever. This is a professional podcast.
Anyway, so J.K. Rowling,
yeah,
we would definitely want to have dinner with, just because it would mean so much to our former selves, and it was so formative, mm-hmm. not only of, like, the people that we became, but also, you know, I moved away when I was, like, 9 years old, so we've been, we've been, like, long-distance best friends since we were 9 years old.
Wow. And we're the same age.
Yes.
Which means we grew up with Harry.
Mm-hmm.
And we just went through school with him, read the books, watched the movies. Very formative for our generation.
Yeah, it definitely was.
Honestly, I can't think of another just media maker, anybody, yeah. that is probably had so much influence on mm-hmm. a generation of people growing up in our lifetime.
Yeah. Well, her sub-answer was Michelle Obama, and my sub-answer was Jessica Valenti, who, like, writes these really amazing, like, feminist novels. But then we both decided that if there were, like, two doors and J.K. Rowling was behind one of them, that we would both walk through the door with J.K. Rowling behind it.
This is a weird, like, let's make a deal scenario.
It is a let's make a deal scenario, and it's very important.
I like that. It's a good answer. I'm really excited to hear the song, and we'll get into more maybe your conversation about it after we hear the song.
Okay. Great. Let's do it.
Hey, how you doing? Come on in, and can I get you anything to ease your journey or make you comfy? Feels like we may have met before, and when you walk right through my door, I stop breathing, but I'm breathing. Would you ever let me know you? Beyond all the rumors and tabloids and tweets, would you ever let me know you? 'Cause I'm ready for you to know me. Me, oh, I always knew I'd sing, but I teach and play and bring up my Clemmy. He's the best boy, though. You're a Leo, I'm an Aries. I love reading contemporary feminist theory. Did you pick up that new Roxane Gay novel? No? It seems like maybe you could learn something about, you know, about intersectionality, or... Would you ever let me know you? Beyond all the rumors and tabloids and tweets, would you ever let me know you? 'Cause I'm ready for you to know me. Lavender lemonade, one-time bridesmaid, angry driver, academia survivor, dog beast disciple, prefer subtitles, I recycle wrong, my legs are too long, me travel like air, never belonged anywhere, ghosts give me a skeleton to overshare. Would you ever let me know you? Beyond all my babbling and stumbles and goofs, would you ever let me know you? 'Cause I'm ready to know your truth.
That was delightful. Get closer.
Okay.
That was lovely. I liked it a lot. It felt like it was from a musical.
Yeah.
It felt, I could see your musical influences there, your musical theater influences.
Yeah. I wanted it to be like sort of an homage to the whole project we're doing also.
I like it.
You know,
right. Would you let me know you?
Yeah.
Which is what we're doing.
You get it.
I do get it.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're like getting the subtext.
I'm getting the subtext and also the regular text. I get both of it. It seems clear to me. That was like, I like it a lot. And so as you heard in that song, Taylor is a multi-instrumentalist playing several different instruments on the track. Viola.
Yep.
And a little bit of piano, I heard.
Yes.
Did you do the percussion?
Maybe? I did. Nice. I did the percussion too.
That's amazing. That's fun. And a great singer as well. So all around quintuple threat.
Well, I wanted to challenge myself on this first song to do something with piano because I never compose with the piano first.
Me neither.
And so I did it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. So I want to hear a little bit about sort of the conversation and how it inspired that song. So, you know, would you ever let me know you
mm-hmm.
in regards to this dinner guest, J.K. Rowling?
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you think about heroes and you think about people who are very important and famous and everything, which kind of gets into what I'm going to talk about, it's hard to think of them as people.
Yeah.
And so, like, she probably would let you get to know you, like her, if you, you know, ever became friends.
I guess, but I also feel like she has had to defend herself for so hard and so long, and, like, she's been such a fighter that it's, like, I don't know, like, what she has crafted for us to see.
Right.
And, like,
where's the real?
Yeah, like, what I want.
Where's the real JK?
Yeah, and, like, I would love to just, like, have, like, a conversation about, like, girl, what you doing putting Johnny Depp in the Fantastic Beasts franchise? Like,
I mean, does she have power over that?
Yes, she does.
Is she a producer?
Yeah.
Does she cast?
Well, Josiah, if you're J.K.
Rowling,
yeah. don't you think if you were like, I don't want this man in my franchise, would listen?
That's true, probably. But also, I wonder how involved she is with the movie making. You know what I mean?
This is like the most involved she's been. Like, she was helping with the screenplay for the first one. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know enough about it. But clearly. Yeah, honestly. I mean, like, I always feel the need to defend, like, people like J.K. Rowling. Especially in movie, because I feel like movie making is so complicated.
It's very complicated.
And I never know how much power someone has.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So.
But not excusing, like, she should have. And honestly, like, is she woke enough to know?
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. I would love to have a conversation with her about that. And about
intersectionality.
Yeah, and especially that.
Because she's pretty woke from her Twitter feed and stuff.
Yeah, she's like mid-woke, I would say.
I love, I just want to like, man, I love two white people talking about how woke people are.
Yeah,
you know what I'm
saying? Yeah.
Two straight white people talking about how woke people are. That's actually the song I wrote this week.
Really?
Yeah, it's just
great.
That.
Okay.
It's really short.
But yeah, no, I think there's also something like really vulnerable about inviting someone into your home and,
sure.
and being like, I want to share part of myself with you, which doesn't really happen on like dates, especially.
Yeah. We mentioned this last night. Taylor and I were hanging out last night, and we were talking about this a little bit in the group. But that, you know, people who were alive in the 70s have been remarking like, oh, millennials don't open the door if someone just knocks. It's like, no. Like, I barely let anyone in my home, even if they're my friends. Like, I'm not going to let anybody. So, yeah, letting someone in your house.
Yeah.
Whereas back in, you know, like several decades ago, it would have been like, oh, hospitality, come mm-hmm. on in. Like, nowadays, it's like, this is my home.
Right.
You can't just come over. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, Taylor's recording in my house right now, and wow. It was hard for me to let her in.
And I was not very gracious.
No, not very gracious. Also, just made fun of how messy my room is the whole time, which is fair.
Absolutely what I
did. It is very messy. Well, I liked that. That was a lovely song. And like, I really do feel like that is, it felt to me like it was plucked right out of a musical.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It just felt like here it is. I liked it a lot.
All right, let's hear about yours.
Okay, great. So here was my question. Question number two, set one. Would you like to be famous in what way? Nice and simple. So I talked to my roommate and friend of 19 years, but I've known my roommate JT for like, oh gosh, how old am I? How long has it been since college? Ugh, I don't want to think about it. God, like seven or eight years now.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, JT and I grew up about 15 minutes apart from each other in Texas. But we never met, but we had a lot of mutual friends that were in like community theater together, but we never knew each other until when we started college, we both went away to university in Oklahoma, different universities for one semester, then transferred back to the same university in Texas, in which we were in the same acting class.
Ships passing in the night.
I know, and our ships finally met, and we became good friends. We started the improv team at our college together. He went off and did some like ships and stuff, some boats after college, doing all the cruises, and I came here to Chicago, and then he moved here, and we reconnected. We stayed in contact the whole time. We've been really tight ever since college, but we've been roommates for like a year now, and like super, super good friends. So I wanted to start with someone that I know well and that I enjoy talking to for my question.
Mm.
So I'll give you a little bit of the sort of answer, and then we'll talk about it more after we play the song. But so I asked JT, would you want to be famous in what way? It was interesting because JT's first response was that he would want to be low-key famous.
Mm.
And his example was Chris Pratt in early seasons of Parks and Rec.
Uh-huh.
And not Chris Pratt now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty interesting because our conversation immediately turned from fame to money and to how famous people use their money and what it would be like to have a lot of money. So we started talking about fame and basically immediately transitioned to like, what would it be like to be really really rich and how to use that? And we cycled back to fame a lot, but a lot of it was about like, your level of influence, how you give back to your community, what your responsibility is when you have that kind of like power.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, fame, money sometimes are interchangeable. So that was sort of the inspiration for my song was, kind of how money and fame interact with each other.
Cool.
Yeah. So we'll play it now.
Excuse me, please, can you spare a dime? Excuse me, sir, do you have the time? Hello, ma'am, how are you today? Eyes up, head down as I walk away. If money is the root of all evil, then how am I still wicked? If sin is real and lives in all people, then the gods never existed. Looky here, look at this fresh meat. Yeah, that's right, you'll be on easy street. Sign right here, right on the dotted line. Don't you worry, it'll all be fine. If money is the root of all evil, then how am I still wicked? If sin is real and lives in all people, then the gods never existed. Just be cool, keep it all low-key. I don't need your charity. No pictures, please, I got places to go. Does Jesus still love me? This I don't know. I am no Faust, and neither am I Johnny. My soul, it is too cold. Hell's prince I would oust if he'd lay his challenge on me. But I'd probably just pawn a fiddle of gold. If money is the root of all evil, then how am I still wicked? If sin is real and lives in all people, then the gods never existed. Then the gods never existed.
Wow.
That's the song I wrote.
Strong. Juxtaposition.
Strong juxtaposition. Very different songs.
My song.
Yeah.
My song is like, welcome in. And yours is like,
fuck the world. What is life? What is our society?
Wow. Yeah. Oh, boy.
That's my song. Mm-hmm. So I had a really hard time writing this week. And I had some, like, several pages worth of stuff I was trying to figure out. At first, I was kind of writing a story song. With like, so I wanted to write like a sort of mythology based epic tale thing mm-hmm. about someone who became famous and right. how it affected them. And I couldn't crack it. Like, I had some stuff I liked, but I could not figure it out. And then I got the chorus of that, like just the word stuck in my head. If money is the root of all evil, then how am I still wicked?
Uh-huh.
Because I don't have any money.
And that's true.
And I'm still bad, you know? And I think that I just got that stuck in my head, and I really liked it. And then the next line was if sin is real and lives in all people, then the gods never existed.
Yeah.
And I, like, come from a very religious background, so a lot mm-hmm. of time my songs have religious allusions and stuff like that.
Yeah. Here's what I loved about this song is that it was, like, some true Josiah roots.
Yeah.
You know, what I love about your songwriting is that it always has this, like, Texas folk tone. Like, there's this underlying thing, no matter what it is that you write, that always has this, you know,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, it's interesting, like, my dad, my whole family is musical, but my dad plays a lot of guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And growing up, he played a lot of, like, old country western songs. Like Ghost Riders in the Sky and like Riotto and all these old country western, even like Country Road, Take Me mm-hmm. Home, all that stuff. And that was kind of like the music I knew growing up. We listened to like Christian radio and then like my dad playing guitar.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't know real quote unquote music until I was in high school.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Actually, I think this is funny because like the first music that I ever put onto an MP3 player was Respect by Aretha Franklin,
nice.
Irreplaceable by Beyonce, and okay. the Wicked soundtrack. And then I just fell into listening to musical theater music for like 3 full years until yeah. I got to high school. And then I was like, oh, bands.
Bands are real. See, the first CD I bought, and this is amazing, and you won't know who this person is,
right.
But it was Stacey Orico, who was a Christian pop artist like basically like a really, really off-brand Britney Spears of the time who was Christian. She was real cute and she was like 19 or whatever, and I cannot for the life of me remember any of her songs.
Wow.
But it was the first CD I purchased. So that just kind of gives you an idea of like what my life was like. But no, so yeah, the country western and like folk roots run deep in my blood. And nowadays when I write songs, I can't not write something with that flavor.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how it comes out. But anyway, so like a little bit about the song. I liked the chorus, and for the verses, I wanted to sort of show different sort of examples of money and fame and how that affects people. So the first verse, I thought about like how someone on the street, like a homeless person, interacts with people when they don't have anything. And the second verse, I sort of about like managers and people who, like, you know, like the old Motown singers who got taken advantage of because some shiny person was like, sign right here, you're going to be big. And in the third verse, I wanted to be like, oh, now I'm famous and this is like, I don't need anything. And also, I've kind of lost my way. Like, does Jesus still love me? I don't know. Which I feel that all the time.
Yeah. It's funny because I feel like we talk.
Yeah.
We're friends in real life outside of this recording studio.
It's true.
And I really like heard a lot of themes of things that we talk about echoed in that song.
Well, and like something that we've talked about before is my, like, once again, religious upbringing. And like, mm-hmm. I've kind of like lost my religion. I don't necessarily believe anything anymore. Or do I believe everything? Who knows? Popping the questions. We'll get into that. It's probably in like set number three. But no, so that's like something I think about all the time, and it's always on my mind. And so that's why my songs always have like religious references and references to God and stuff like that. And even like the bridge, I wanted to talk about, I made a lot of references to selling your soul, because Faust, there's the old tale of Faust and Mephistopheles, I think was the demon that came to him. It's like an old story from Germany or whatever. And Faust sold his soul because he was like, sure, I get to be like, have all these cool, I get to whatever I want. But then he wasted it. He didn't use like the cool power he had. He just like did it on stupid tricks.
Mm.
And then like, you know, Devil Went Out of Georgia Johnny, like had gotten a battle with the devil for his soul and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And like, you know, but I probably just pawn a fiddle of gold because it's worth money and I don't have any money. So yeah. And I think when you, that's one thing that JT and I talked about, when you become famous, you sort of lose yourself, you lose your agency, and sort of that idea of selling your soul, like whether or not you feel like you've lost who you really are, is sort of, I think, a big deal when it comes to being famous, because like you don't have any, like going back to Chris Pratt now, how much control does he have over his actual life? Like, he's so in demand.
Yeah.
And he works so much that like, does he get to actually be who he wants to be?
Well, that's what I always think about when you sign on to a franchise. It's like a lot of actors don't do it because even though it's like so much money, they'll never be able to spend all of it. They like basically lose their freedom.
Right. For like 10 years.
Yeah.
Which is what I mean. Like, yeah, you look at all those Marvel movies, like their contracts are almost up and like guaranteed, like especially the ones who've been in it forever, like Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, like Chris Hemsworth, they're probably just going to be like, no, I'm done.
Yeah.
Because I've done this for 10 years and I want my life back.
Right.
But yeah, that was kind of the stuff we talked about with JT. It was a lot of about money and, you know, what you do with that, how you give back to your community, and also the different levels of fame of like, you can be locally famous, you know, in your community, like people who are famous in Chicago who like aren't necessarily famous outside of Chicago, or even like, you know, small town, like weatherman, you see him in the like grocery store and you're like, oh, he's on TV. And then how do you use that influence and like, how do you, and that privilege in a way, like hopefully, you know, I always come back to like the Spider-Man quote, with great power comes great responsibility, because if you have a lot of influence, hopefully you're using it well.
Yeah.
And if you're not using it at all, then what are you doing with what you've been given?
The question that this raises for me is not like, how would I use this influence that I would have over all these people then, but then like, how am I using the influence I have now?
Yeah, and for sure. It's like you take it to, I'm not famous, I don't have a lot of money, but I do have more privilege than other people and more of a status like position.
And, you know, I teach third graders, and to them, I come in once a week and, you know, do opera with them, and they think I'm, like, a rock star.
Right, they're
and
like, they're this like, person is so cool.
They're like, who is that girl with purple hair and singing so loud?
This is amazing. I never knew people could sing so loud.
And, you know, like, setting an example for them and influencing them, like, has been new for me and like kind of opened my eyes to like what one person can accomplish.
Totally. And yeah, so you, when you look at it at a granular level, like, yeah, you're famous to those third graders.
Yeah.
You know? And the other thing that JT and I talked about is the second part of the question, in what way would you want to be famous? Mm. And both of us, like, we talked about how we want to be famous for doing, like, good things. And not necessarily, like, famous for being, like, in a movie or something.
Right.
And then we start talking about how, like, you don't necessarily ever hear about philanthropists becoming famous. Mm-hmm. Mostly people get rich and they're already famous and then they start giving money. You know what I mean? Like, you very rarely hear about someone who, like, became wealthy but wasn't well known and then started giving a lot of money away and then became very well known.
Yeah.
Which was interesting.
But also my question is, it's like those people who have, like, those billionaires, yeah, like that circle of billionaires, they all know who each other are.
Totally.
And they, like, are totally aware, but, like, do they know who Chance the Rapper is?
Right.
No.
Does, like, Bill Gates know who Chance the Rapper is?
Absolutely. Well, I feel like Bill Gates might probably know.
He seems pretty on the beat of things. Well, and that was one thing I kept bringing up, Chance the Rapper, too, because I was like, you know, he gave, like, $1 million to Chicago Public Schools last year.
He did. It was $3 million,
Yeah, which is awesome and, like, a great example of someone giving back to their community once they've achieved success. And then we talked about, a lot of stuff, but I wanted to talk a little bit more about your question, too, because you touched on, like, famous people and stuff, and I think these questions kind of can mm-hmm. segue into one another, which is, I think, probably why they're put next to each other.
Sure.
Because most of the people that you want to have dinner with are going to be famous people. Like, most people's question, if they're answering that, it's not going to be like, my grandma. Because you already get to have dinner with your grandma.
And, well, and we're also saying that all these people are alive.
Right.
So it's like, you can't do a touching pic.
Right, of, like, my great-grandfather.
Right.
Who I never knew. Like, mm. But, and then, like, yeah, look at the influence that J.K. Rowling has.
Yeah.
You know, on us growing up with those books.
Yeah.
And on, you know, still to this day, like, she, you know, tweets and is writing and like, yeah, has control, produces movies.
Yeah.
And has that power, and how is she using that power? So yeah, interesting stuff.
Yeah. So should we ask each other our questions now?
Yeah, I would love to hear your answer.
Well, yeah, so you first.
Okay.
Because it's the first question.
Okay, ask me.
Okay, given the choice, Josiah.
Yes.
Of anyone in the world.
Uh-huh.
Whom would you want as a dinner guest?
I am having a hard time with this question because I don't like celebrities. I don't like celebrity worship and I don't like hero worship. And I find it sort of disconcerting when people put people on a pedestal.
Yeah.
It messes me up and mm-hmm. I think it's bad because your heroes are always going to fail you. Especially when you meet them in real life. They're not going to be as cool as you think they're going to be.
Yes.
But I don't know. I think when I think of people who I'd like to meet, like, right now in my life,
mm-hmm.
not, and, you know, my answer probably would be different in a month, but I think it would be, honestly, yeah, I think I would want to have dinner with, and I'm going to cheat a little bit, but the McElroy brothers. They are three brothers who
are those people?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you.
Tell me.
They're three brothers who are podcast hosts, TV hosts, and, like, they do a lot of videos on YouTube.
Mm.
So they're, like, one of those niche famous people where if you meet the right person, like, the McElroy brothers will be, like, the most important people, like, in their life and produce all the content that they like. But that's probably just, like, you know, 100,000 people that are very big fans. Or maybe probably more than that. But I they are really cool. They're great. And honestly, if you've never listened to any McElroy Brothers shows or anything like that, I would highly recommend them. They're very pure, very fun. But one thing I really like about them is they're three white guys from West Virginia. And they started a podcast in, like, 2010 where they just basically goof around with different questions from their audience and questions from Yahoo Answers called My Brother and Me. It's a really funny show. But one thing I really love about them is when they started, the youngest one was, like, 21 and the oldest one was, like, 29 or something like that. And they're just a couple white guys who were raised Baptist from West Virginia. And when they started out the podcast, they were kind of problematic in some ways. Because they had some, you know, views that were definitely skewed from, you know, growing up in West Virginia and growing up in rural places. But there was kind of a turning point in the first, like, 100 episodes. And a lot of times when people are, you know, recommending to go listen to them, they're like, maybe start like episode 150 or something like that. Because that's when things start getting really good. And I actually went back and listened to them from the beginning. And there are some things that are kind of cringy. Like they you know, just use some words that aren't great and have some takes that aren't great. But there was a sort of a turning point along the way in the first 100 episodes where they had an episode, they had a question about furries. And so they started making fun of furries. And then they got a lot of feedback from their audience and people who were furries and were like, hey, man, hey, guys, that's kind of not cool because, like, we're people too. And, like, this is just sort of a lifestyle thing and it's not, like, always a sexual kink thing. And there's a lot about furries you don't know. And
there is a lot about furries we don't know.
Yeah. And, like, well, that's the thing is they became, they took that.
Yeah.
And ran with it. And, like, on their next episode, they, like, apologized and were like, hey, we're sorry. We were just goofing off and that wasn't really cool. We didn't really know a lot about this community. And cool. Now we know about this community.
Yeah. So in short, you like that they've basically owned up to their shit. Yeah. Overcame.
They went from being like, they remind me of me in a way because they went from being like shitty white guy, the college kids to like trying to be a good ally, which is what I try to do as well. And they do it in a lot of cool ways. Like one of their, I'm going on too long about them, but just one example, they have a Dungeons and Dragons podcast where they create their own like sort of story together. And they did a really cool thing where they like kept the character descriptions vague. So everybody got to like, you know, the fans basically could see whatever they wanted in these characters. So it created a lot of diversity amongst the characters. And they made sure to have like a lot of representation of the LGBTQ+ community and all that, which is cool. And so I would love to get dinner with them and like pick their brains and like just be like, hey, I know it's probably as simple as just not being shitty, but like, how do you guys like do, like, what are your goals and how do you like respond when you're trying to be a good ally? Cause I really respect them and all the stuff they've created. So that's my long answer. It was too long. I'll probably edit some of that out.
Cool. Yeah.
They're sort of role models in like the kind of media that I would like to create in creating a positive, welcoming environment that's inclusive.
Yeah.
And they're also straight white guys from the South. And they're somehow still doing that good work.
Yeah.
And that's something I struggle with a lot is like, how do I, with my point of view and with like my experiences, how do I create something that can be relevant to the world?
Right. Well, we're doing it, baby.
Hell yeah. So that was my long answer. They're great. McCoy Brothers are really funny. I'll ask you now this question.
Okay.
Would you want to be famous in what way?
I would not like to be famous in any way.
Okay.
I would not like it.
I didn't say would you like it. Would you want to?
Oh, would I want to be? No.
Okay. And you wouldn't like it.
And I wouldn't like it. That's, I guess, the answer.
Yeah.
No. I think that once you become famous and you have to curate your presence in all of these different ways and you have to, like, you know, you have this responsibility to, you know, whether it's, you know, your fans or your community or whoever else, then you're no longer doing things for yourself.
Yeah.
And I feel like... right now I already have to curate like my Facebook and my Instagram and my Twitter, and I have to like leave the house looking a certain way, and all of that is really enough work for me, and nobody even really is following very closely on those things. But so I get to do those with, you know, a general amount of, you know, leeway and elbow room. But I think if I were famous, I would really, really feel beholden to setting a certain example for sure, and giving people opportunities, and like, it just seems like this exhausting like hamster wheel to me that I would never be able to climb out of. I feel like I might just be too private for that.
True.
She says
I
on a show about intimacy.
On a podcast that we're going to give to the entire universe. I have a question, though, sort of follow up to that. You do a lot of theater and a lot of comedy and a lot of performance. If you don't want recognition, like, I don't know, do you want recognition for that? Would you ever want to be well known for doing that? Or would even that level of like local fame be not good for you? Because, like, I think a lot of times people's goals with performance and with, you know, comedy and music and stuff like that is to
be famous.
Is to be famous or to make money doing it, which oftentimes those can go hand in hand.
You know, my goal is to make art that makes me happy.
Right.
And
but what and so like that's my question is if something really took like if something really takes off and you like sort of fall into fame, would you I mean, how would you respond to that?
I think I would become I think I would become a hermit, honestly. Yeah. I think I would become like one of those insanely like reclusive whatever level of celebrity I would be, because privacy is really important to me.
Yeah.
And you know, I recognize that like I'm not like a perfect example all the time, and I don't always, you know, walk the walk of the talks that I talk, and I would feel, you know, I feel lucky at this point in my life to be able to explore what that means and right. to sometimes change that. But you know, you say if something if I if this folk opera, you know, that I'm writing, you know, took off really, really hot, really mm-hmm, well. Mm-hmm, people mm-hmm. loved it, which they are.
They're going
and
to.
And you know, everything fell into place for it to be like this the new Hamilton or whatever,
yeah.
right? I would feel so obligated to keep making important art like that, and then I wouldn't be able to write my dumb songs about my dog
right.
anymore. Yeah.
Shout out to Clemmy, who was in Taylor's song. He's a very good boy.
He's a very good boy. He's a number one boy.
He's a number one boy. That's interesting. So, growing up, I was like, yeah, I definitely want to be famous. I'd love that. Mm-hmm. And now I'm not so sure. Like, if I would want that sort of low key level of fame, where I could still be me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think it's weird. It's hard. And in this day and age, this is something that JT and I talked about too. It's so easy to become famous. Like, it's easier than it's ever been before, but it's hard to maintain.
Yes. Yes.
And this will date this podcast immediately, but Yodel Boy. Walmart.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
Like, JT and I talked about that. We're like, he is famous now, and he gets to go perform at the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah.
But will he stay famous? And also, will he actually like the fact that he has this much attention now? Because that kid's like 8 years old.
Right.
And he probably is going to want a normal life. And he gets to be on Ellen for now.
Right.
But what happens after that?
Well, so that's the other thing about it, is the fallout, right? Because we all know that there's only a rare handful of celebrities who stay in good standing with the public eye.
Right.
So my feeling is also, and I feel this even in like improv friend groups, that there's eventually like this like fall that happens where then like the public opinion changes, and
yep.
then it's like you're more alone than ever before.
Yeah, and also in this post-Me Too world that we live in.
Yeah.
And, you know, people are being outed all the time. Like, shitty men are being outed all the time, which is good.
Yes.
But, like, you can't be... Like, your heroes are going to fail you.
Yes.
You know, you're going to be like, oh, I love so-and-so. And then you're going to find out they did something shitty.
But, you know, that's really powerful, too, though, to see your hero fail and be like, well, you know, truly, like, there is no, like... There is no person that we can put on a pedestal because we're all human.
Yeah. And that's like when I was talking about how I don't like hero worship and stuff like that. I think that's one of the biggest reasons why. Like, an interesting example, like about like a year and a half ago, kind of 6 months or so before the Me Too stuff came out on like Facebook and everything, there was this really cool YouTube creator that I liked who was revealed to have been like sliding up in girls' DMs on Twitter, like,
mm-hmm.
really grossly.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and he had made some really cool, like, really artistic videos on YouTube that were great. And then we found out he was a shithead. And the whole, like, fan community was like, well, fuck. This guy sucks. And what he made was really cool, but now it doesn't feel cool anymore. Like, and I think it's so... I'm like, separate the art from the artist? Nah.
Yeah.
I'm like, they're gross.
No, thank you.
No.
There are so many people who make content who are just good people.
Yeah.
And
there's no reason. And I mean, like, they're good to people up until we find out they're not good people. But even then, like, another example. I'm sorry. I'm really into video games.
You should apologize.
I'm sorry about that. But this is another good example. So there's a lot of really popular video game streamers that are, like, shitheads.
Yes.
That are super bad. And but one came out recently. You know Fortnite. You've heard of Fortnite. Mm-hmm. It's all in the news. We're also dating this podcast by talking about Fortnite. But there was this really popular streamer. It goes by Ninja. And everyone was kind of like, he's the new golden boy. Like, he's not problematic, and he's nice, and he's being a good example to the community. And then he accidentally said the N-word in a freestyle rap. And he is a white man. And it was a big, 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 big controversy. And everyone was like, well, he was cool for about a week and a half. Mm. But he apologized immediately. Explained that he felt really, really bad for what happened. He knew it was a word that has a lot of power and is not his to say, and apologized to the community and like really, really did like made amends. And he's kind of okay now. Everyone was kind of like, that felt real. That felt like a real apology. Which is interesting because sometimes that happens, but most of the time you don't actually get that real apology from famous people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know, like, my perspective on these apologies and these, like, big reveals is, you know, often it doesn't feel like a shock.
Yeah.
And especially, like, as a woman, yes. You know, I feel like that's just your, well, I shouldn't speak for all women, but my experience has been very much being, like, you know, okay, like, you can't exactly, you know, trust that any person is not going to, you know, try something.
Yeah.
And you have to, like, really be on your guard. And I know a lot of other women who feel that way and who,
absolutely,
when, you know, they hear about somebody who they have seen be really respected for a long time, you know, there always seems to just be, like, a sort of, like, well, what did we expect?
Yeah, not surprised. Always, never, never surprised, always disappointed or something
like that.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It's just like, yeah, whatever. I think we've talked enough about fame.
Yes.
And you know, famous people.
Yeah.
And how they're good examples and bad examples. Let's talk about the questions for next week.
Okay.
Real quick, let's share what those are going to be, and then we can wrap up.
Okay. So question three is, before making a telephone call, do you ever rehearse what you are going to say and why?
Question four.
Go ahead.
Is what would constitute a perfect day for you? Perfect is in quotes.
Yeah. Which one do you want to do?
I think I would. Do you have a preference?
I do have a preference.
Hit me.
I would rather do number four.
Okay, I'll take the telephone call. I immediately had an answer for that one.
Yes, that's so good. That's all right, great.
We'll be back next week with the answers to that question and more songs.
And more songs!
More songs. We'll talk about our songwriting process.
Yeah, we promise not to bum you out thinking about...
about how famous people will fail you.
Yeah.
And hey, me and Taylor, we will fail you.
Yeah, we'll fail you for sure. But
we'll
like
be your new problematic
But like
phase.
Maybe when you think that you can listen to the first song and about...
about... literally what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
And you can get to know us. We will
yeah.
let you. Cool. So this has been Popping the Questions. And please tune in. Continue tuning in.
As we write these songs every single week, we will not miss a week.
No. And we will have 36 songs at the end of this, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And 18 episodes. So real quick, I want to share our... I would like to extend the invitation that if you are listening... please answer the questions and
yeah.
let us know. So we are, we have an email that I just set up.
Whoa.
And, so email us at poppingthequestionspod@gmail.com. If you would like to answer either the questions we asked today. So, and just one more time, the questions are dinner guest, dream dinner guest,
mm-hmm.
and would you like to be famous and why? If you have a really cool answer for either of those, or you think either of those are interesting, email us at poppingthequestionspod@gmail.com. Or if you have a shorter answer, hit us up on Twitter at poppingtheqs. And you can let us know on there.
Yeah. And like, I don't know, call your mom and ask.
Yeah. Call like, talk to your mom. Hey guys.
Talk to your mom.
For once.
Just
you
for
please
one
call your
time.
Mom?
You call her.
For once. She's worried about you. And she wants to know how you're doing. So yeah, call your mom. Talk to her about these questions. Awesome. Thank you for listening to Poppin' the Question.
Yay! Pop!